usually end in August.
Good evening. It is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, at 6:08 p.m. and I call the Planning Development Extension Education Committee meeting to order. Number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
We are in compliance, yes.
Thank you. Number two, 2019 program plans.
All right, so we decided to give you an overview. This is something we've been doing for quite a while in Racine County and thought maybe it would be helpful to do this also in Kenosha County to give the committee kind of an overview of what the educators have planned for 2019. Realize this is only like when they work on their plans, they still leave some parts open to be responsive throughout the years to programming that might come up and opportunities. And sometimes one program will lead to another one. But this just, whoops, didn't mean to move that. Yeah, I was trying to make, my screen is black here, so I was trying to, I don't know. So we'll go through each educator will get a chance to share. The other part that I find really helpful is not only can the committee listen, but then we listen to each other's programming as well. And so it's just a good chance one time a year to spend some time together. If you have, as you're listening, if you have contacts, ideas, you know, we'd be open to that as well, just staying within our time frame. So good to go. We'll go ahead and see who's on here first, right? I already had shown you.
It's me. Hello. We're the bonus program. So the Food Waste program is 100% federally funded. I briefly listed our partners at the top there. I don't like to read off slides, so I'm going to avoid that. I will just share our grant dollars from two federal grants. This is our budget for this federal fiscal year. We use that to employ 9 full-time staff to reach about 7,500 learners, different teaching events, English and Spanish curriculum. And our learners are categorically low and limited income populations that range in age from preschoolers through seniors. So we are everywhere doing lots of stuff, and it's pretty exciting. The next slide will show our policy systems and environmental work. So that's more about promoting access to healthy foods, working on different coalitions and committees. We have a few things going on in Kenosha County, but I think our best example was, if you all recall, the Kenosha Health Improvement Project. Maybe some of you remember more, some of you are new. So that was the collaborative effort with WIC, the Community Action Agency, health departments, school folks from KUSD, a lot of individuals in the community got together, and we did things like helping increase the access to farmers markets, which is one point that's on there. We planned some scavenger hunts for families at various farmer markets in the area. We developed a non-pharmaceutical prescription pad to help healthcare providers have a productive conversation about ways for their clientele to change their health behaviors, such as, you know, taking some classes or getting more healthier foods or smoking cessation, etc. So those are the kind of changes that we make on more of a broader view versus the direct education that we provide. And then we each have summaries, Bev, I think you're going to share those later.
Yep.
But as you'll get later, I've sort of broken out our programming by audience and then what we do with each audience. So you can have a quick glance at the tables and see where we are, what we're doing with different groups, if we're working on policy systems and environment. And this is for both of our funding streams. As always, if you guys ever have any questions, please feel free to email us. If you want to ever stop in our programming, we're always in schools, etc. We just need a little heads up to let our partner know, like, you know, get all the clearance stuff. We'd love to have you. And we provide food samples. And come on spinach fun. Day. It's a real big hit on the fifth graders.
All right.
That's us in a nutshell.
Okay. Oh, You're next.
I was next. Okay. Awesome. So, yeah, 2019 in my world is going to be pretty exciting. Actually, this week and next week, a bulk of my initial programming is happening, so I'm a little stressed out. But we had pesticide applicator training yesterday. We had a program last week focused on cover crops and no-till education. We had a big turnout for that. And did a program also last week on some of the new policies in the Farm Bill around dairy price supports and revenue protection for farmers. Obviously, the dairy industry right now is in like a crisis mode, so the new Farm Bill's got some really good changes that they've made to previous programs to help dairy farmers at a critical time. So that was last week and this week, but kind of looking forward, my work is going to be focused around a couple kind of core areas. I always try to like think about what my kind of overarching programs are and fitting in the programming that I do into those. So farm management will be a focus, working with farmers on their finances and also succession planning, looking to the future. I have a program coming up on March 20th in Burlington that'll be focused on kind of helping farmers think through the, you know, the next 10 to 20 years, and if they're going to bring on a successor, what do they need to have in place in order to do that. We'll be doing some safety training type work, my annual tractor safety program. I'm also collaborating with Walworth County to do a farm safety training, not for farmers, but for first responders that might show up on farm to an accident, and kind of to get them familiar with the farm environment, things that they might come into contact with. So that's something kind of new and interesting. Another focus of my programming is around ag literacy and increasing kind of general public's awareness of agriculture and kind of what our farmers are doing in the area to protect the environment, to you know, bring healthy food to the marketplace. So with that, I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements in schools. We'll continue to do that. And also coordinating publication of the Farm Fresh Atlas of Southeastern Wisconsin, which has been under our umbrella here in Kenosha County UW Extension for the last 15 years. So that's another big project, actually going to print probably April 1st. So we'll all bring copies to the April meeting. Another big kind of overarching program area is regenerative or sustainable agriculture. So I mentioned some of that work on cover crops and no-till education, but we have a group of farmers in the area that are really actively engaged in having kind of farmer-to-farmer conversations on that. So I play more of a support role in that aspect, bringing them together, bringing speakers in. And also we'll be planning an annual prairie walk, which I think actually will just happen right over the Kenosha County line this year, but that's something we do regionally and offer that to the general public. And then, as Bev said, kind of as issues come along, we're always focused on what we can do in the moment to bring education. So a couple things I mentioned: dairy policy. We've got some outreach planned on hemp production. We do have a couple of growers in the area, one who's actively engaged in growing it and a lot of others that are interested. And then also along the lines of produce safety, I've been doing outreach as part of a statewide team on educating growers around some new federal regulations that are affecting all sizes of farms. So that's what I'm looking forward to. Yep.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I saw something somewhere about farmers that little bit of a portion of their fields, like their corn fields, up to act as barriers for drifting.
Pesticide drift?
No. Snow drift.
Snow drift.
Do they do that in Kenosha County?
Not that I've particularly noticed. Yeah.
But they get subsidized from the government for doing that.
Like a windbreak kind of program.
Yeah.
There are programs like that, but generally they're for planting like buffers of, you know, trees and shrubs
like
and stuff. I haven't heard of a program like that, but that's not to say it couldn't exist. I haven't noticed it in our area. Yeah. I mean, you see, you know, you look across a lot of farm fields and that's where the wind can really pick up. So, yeah, but I'm not sure if I can do a little research, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
My question was on the variety of different programs. Are these programs that are sought out by the farmers or the state or the feds want certain things to be pushed down?
Some of them are more kind of federally mandated, like tractor safety, pesticide safety, but a lot of the other programs are just by farmer need, you know,
what I hear in the area. Requests about, hey, have you heard about this or done anything about that?
Yep, and I do work on, you know, kind of statewide and regional teams to program, so, you know, sometimes we'll kind of get together and if we're hearing on, you know, education is needed on a particular topic, we'll provide it, so. All right.
Who is next?
I don't know.
Jeannie.
Just in time, wait for this break. You timed it perfectly. Basically, what I've kept my mind about is what I've been working on the last 2 months in 2019, February and January. We've got the Master Garden Program, of course. That's a year-round program. They don't go dormant in the wintertime. We have a lot of programming. That we encourage them to attend for education hours so they can meet their requirements. And then this is also the time of year they start planning for their projects. And so we like to work with them so we can help them get everything ready and set so they'll be ready to go once the weather cooperates, which Groundhog says 6 weeks we'll be out there. So. And then landscape grounds maintenance, you know, that's the traditional program we always have in February. This year, our numbers are way up there again, 111 registrants, but the weather has not been cooperating. The last two Tuesdays, we had the ice storm, and then yesterday we had all the snow, so a lot of our attendees were out on the snow and salting. So actual attendance was down, however, you know, they still had to pay no refunds, and so we're still fine that way. And then for spring the gardening, of course, March 9th, that's all set, ready to go for this year. Master Gardeners, they actually kind of pulled together to figure out what would be the best sessions they wanted to provide this year, and we're able to get speakers just like that. Linda Myers graciously accepted to be our keynote, so that's kind of like the big deal this year. Everybody's all excited about Linda coming. So that's kind of how we're doing it. My slide's kind of in there because my interim position ends in a couple weeks, so I'll be done.
So, as we mentioned before, we're in the process of going to a more regional model for horticulture. So there will be a program coordinator that will coordinate Master Gardeners in Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee counties. And then there will be an outreach specialist that will work across the three counties as well, with a lot more focus on the media throughout the three-county area, as well as technology, more with diagnostics. And so what we'll do is we'll take a look at all the programming across the three county area and sort out, you know, what we'll continue with, what we may need to do differently. And so the key is getting two people hired, and we're in the process of working on that now. So we'll keep you posted. All right, and I want a big thank you for Jeannie serving this ongoing interim that just kept getting extended out.
It didn't.
Yeah, to us either. So it's, I think it's just the reality of a reorganization, a second reorganization. So we really appreciate her patience, but also all the great work that she did and is doing.
Okay. Whoop.
Vicki is ill today, so she's not here, so I'll just, some of you are very involved in the programming with youth and governance, and we have an agenda item, so we can talk about that a little bit later, as well as youth as resources, which is the board that of youth with a few adults as well that give out grants, and it's funded through United Way, and so she supports both of those groups. And then the initiatives that she's working on in addition in 2019, Supervisor Grady had requested to create this career pathways. So she's drafted the the manual and still working with the different schools that want to partner on this in the county. So it's hopefully will launch actually sometime in 2019. And then she's doing a lot of work with the Brass Community School around college and career preparations, and working with MSOE as well as Parkside and some of the other local higher ed institutions. Also is working at Wilson Elementary School, some with Beth, but then I think expanding some of the programming beyond that for the youth there as well. And then pre-college summer opportunities outreach. And so her experience was pre-college up at UW-Milwaukee, so she's able to bring that expertise. And I think has had some conversations with youth and governance reps as well around thinking, you know, what are the next steps and how to bring any resources or support or connections that way. Okay, so that's Vicki's piece.
You gotta go up one back.
Oh, did I skip yours?
You skipped Mary.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
That's okay. So I'm Mary. I'm the health and well-being educator in Kenosha, and I am sort of starting to round out my first year with Extension. So in what Bev and the county has echoed of not filling 100% of your time, to be able to give more grace to opportunities and partnerships that come along the way, I definitely appreciate, because as I've been going out into the community and becoming more familiar, and other agencies becoming more familiar with my position and kind of what it can entail, things have started to fill out more naturally as time has gone on. So some of the things that I'm looking ahead to in 2019 is around social-emotional well-being. So with that, some of it is curriculum and workshops related to stress management and self-care, so not specific to intervention of mental health, but really more on a prevention side of when things aren't necessarily rising to the level of needing outpatient services or psychiatric services or things like that, but just kind of for the typical day-to-day stressful situations that everyone encounters, what are things that you can start to ingrain in your life that will be helpful to help so it doesn't rise further? And then another piece of that is behavioral health, which is more directly related to mental health. So within Kenosha County, as the Community Health Improvement Plan is being kind of retooled and revamped for the 2020 to 2025 timeframe, mental health has been identified as one of the three key topics that they want to tackle. And then also on the Extension side, behavioral health has been identified within my institute as something that is going to be enhanced with more programming and ability to utilize the university research and things like that. So I think it will be a good match as both of those things progress in 2019 to be able to kind of use what the university is developing and identifying in the local arena. And then with financial stability, that has been something I would say that in speaking with partner agencies and as I've gone around to meet with other community resources, that has been responded to very well as far as wanting those resources within the community. So some of what I have been doing and will continue to plan is with the tenant education program Rent Smart, which was part of my feature presentation back in November, but bringing that curriculum into the community to be able to enhance some of the resources and knowledge around rental and being able to be successful in those relationships, as well as general family and individual financial education, which has come to be in many different fashions. So some of it has been with Head Start families, some has been with Housing Authority families, other things have come about with other local agencies kind of working through human services as well as some of the contracted agencies that are within Kenosha County. And then also the food security piece has been in a sense kind of roped into financial security and stability, just given that if a family or an individual has that food security piece, that will enhance their financial stability. So a lot of that has been working with Amy here with the food bank project, as well as what has come about with a food pantry network initiative project. So I have been able to just kind of help where needed, specifically with communications and outreach for both ends of it, to be able to kind of help look ahead and see what will be needed to make sure that those can kind of start as seamlessly as possible.
Okay.
All right, I'm up. So the Kenosha County 4-H program, one of the biggest things that the council helps support and holds is the Kenosha 4-H Project Day, which was just held the first Saturday in February. 2019, we had 80 youth that attended. 30 of them were the Clover Buds, so that'd be K through second graders, and the rest of them were third grade and above. So they all got to do some different projects. One of the new things we had in this year was leather making, and that was a big hit, and they actually happened to be in Bristol. So they said that they had such a great time. They're like, so how do we get involved and do more? So I'm working with them to hopefully maybe start a couple more workshops this year, if definitely not this year, by the fall, that they'll probably partake in. We may have a leather craft project coming in our hands, which would be awesome. The other big thing is summer camps. It gives a chance for kids to hang out in nature. It gives high schoolers a chance to do leadership skills. And with the day camp, it actually gives the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders to also do leadership skills where they're the counselors and they watch over the K through 3rd graders. I'm a little nervous about camp since we keep seeming to have so many snow days. And our camp is the summer camp, which is third grade and above, where my high schoolers are also. The counselors is the first, is the second week in June, which is Father's Day weekend. And school seems to be maybe creeping into that week. So depending on how many more snow days we have, it'll be interesting to see our attendance. But last year, our attendance for the overnight camp, which is 3 days, 2 nights for those third graders and above, we had 50 youth. We had jumped up by 25 youth in 1 year. So I had anticipated and I had talked with the camp that we'd probably be at 60 to 70 youth this year. Not so sure where my numbers will stand, but my goal still is that. We'll see how it goes. So I may need to do a little flexing in that. The day camp, last year was our first year at the YMCA in Burlington, which is where our overnight camp is held. We had 25 kids. That's the first time we've had that many kids of K through third graders come to day camp. Usually I was pulling teeth just to try and get 10. So for this year, our numbers are set somewhere between 40 and 45 that we probably will have in attendance, knowing from the looks of it, the trends, that the 4-H program is leaning a little on the younger side this year and to last year. So those are some of the big summer camp things going on. The things that keep coming up and keep going is volunteer and slash projects is who needs me, who needs what, can I be a resource for, or do I need to attend a meeting, help them get through. I'd love to tell you, Horse Leadership Team, they are doing amazing. They have 5 or 6 educational outings planned for this year alone, which is more than they ever did. The project is switching more to horseless horse than actual horse kids, so that's kids that own a horse. So there's more kids that are joining the horse program that doesn't have one. So we're trying to revamp it to make sure that they're getting education and how we're going to get them included instead of just always being able to pair them with somebody in the past and get them a chance to ride. It may not be that way. It may just be about the educational, getting them to the different barns and things and getting them to learn. The archery program, I have 2 brand new leaders this year. Our leader that had done it for about 20 to 25 years retired. So I'm doing a little bit of hand-holding, getting them through. They need to get state certified before they can actually host a meeting. So that is in April. So they're signed up and ready to go for that. Photography continues to grow. New this year, he's doing something different. Instead of having meetings, he's giving the kids 5 to 6 different topics where they can take a picture, submit it with why they think this picture is the best, and then he in turn is giving them criticism back of what it could be done better, could it be clear, so that way they can learn and keep learning. So they have to do one of those in order to show at a fair. The shooting sports, love this. Thanks to you guys for your help and your ideas and things. I am glad to report that there is 60 youth signed up for shooting sports compared to the 20 that we had last year. So I am busily recruiting more adults to go to the state certifications that we have a few more extra hands on hand. The Silver Lake Sportsman's Club is being awesome. They're welcoming us back with open arms again this year. So things are really moving forward and really looking great to that program. Just on Monday night, they had the game warden and somebody else describing what they do for their jobs and why they should look at those jobs. So, yeah, it has taken off. And then I have more, of course, in my plan of work. So yeah, those are my few. Later.
Okay. Last but not least.
Sure. I'm Amy Grile, and my colleague here, Christine Lozniewski. Yes, we are joining forces for community development here in Kenosha County, also working across Racine County. We're doing a regional workforce development program, which will focus at the outset, at least, around reentry, prison reentrance, and getting them work ready. We're looking at essentially
workforce reentry, not reentering the prison.
Prison reentry.
They're reentering the community.
Yeah, actually, prison reentrance. They're leaving prison into society. That's our focus, keeping them outside of the bars. So, in any case, we'd love to see a launch of a mentoring program where actually reentrants are paired with a caring adult that may have been a reentrant themselves, but can help them kind of navigate the many barriers that they have, many of which are, you know, limiting their abilities to hold and maintain work. So that's been exciting, and Christine actually is kind of linking in around the Kenosha Correctional Center. Mm-hmm. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
Sure. So there are monthly resource fairs that offer different agencies throughout the community to come in and speak with the reentrants for about 2 hours and provide any resources that they might need upon their release. So we're looking at very important, very crucial social services. Are they going to continue working at a current role when they leave? If not, do they need assistance finding employment? Are they going to need health care, food stamps, what sort of education? But for their immediate release, what are the very necessary resources? So that's going to be the primary focus. And then some longer term things too, but really trying to get them as prepared when they leave.
So given that this is a workforce reentry program, understanding coming on initially, maybe they need a hand, but isn't the intent to get them into the workforce and not just get them onto welfare?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So they're required to look for work in a variety of different programs. Many of them are coming out owing significant child support.
Are they Uber, a lot of them, or most?
Well, in that particular prison, I don't want to get too far down in the weeds on this. It's like a very complicated program between the jails and the prisons in the region, and where people will actually stay when they re-enter society is hard to know at times.
Right.
Many of them want to stay local, but others will not.
And I would like to just add one thing. There are a lot of the social services that require employment to receive the social services, right, so that they have to in order to receive food stamps or health care that they need to, you know, have a minimum. But a lot of these men do have roles currently in the correctional facility that they will be able to continue upon their release.
Work roles.
And women?
Work roles.
Right, and women?
Yes. This particular prison is just for males. Yeah. All right. So that's one regional piece, but in the Kenosha side exclusively, you've heard about the food bank process. That is, you know, feasibility testing, business planning. We're really moving ahead very well with that, actually. And the pantries, now we're actually working with 4 pantries that would start working as a network, providing all emergency distribution across 4 quadrants of the county. So you'll be hearing more about that. It's a huge change, but it's actually rolling out really well. People are working together well, and all the pieces are falling into place, so to speak.
Has a centralized bank been identified as far as a facility?
We are looking at 4 facilities. We have various, pros and cons to each, depending on the sizes, the space requirements for the shelving, double high, triple high sorts of pallets, and just how every location, others their price, others their docs and you know, parking. So yeah, we're slowly closing in on, I think, a space that would be
Who's doing the kind of the analysis of cost to benefit ratio? It isn't all on you, or is it somebody from industry?
Well, no, so we're working closely with various partners. We have an advisory team right now that's comprised of many CEOs from around the county, whether they're from private business or the public sector, but also a very Kenosha Area Business Alliance primarily is heading up that portion of exactly, say, site selection, the cost projections, cash flow statements, like how are we going to be able to sustain financially an operation of this size and scope. We're, you know, there's many partners, and fortunately I am kind of coordinating many pieces, but I am not doing the really technical aspects of this, fortunately. It's really just the convening, planning, coordinating, and then overall ensuring that the pantries are being brought along, because a warehouse is not a food bank. A warehouse serves an ecosystem of pantries that must be engaged, and that will change.
The pantries already exist, correct?
Pantries exist, but they don't work together. Of course, they're...
You're trying to get them fed from the centralized location. I don't remember exactly when we first heard about this desire to have this done. It just feels like it's been about 8, 10, 12 months, something like that. And
well,
I'm surprised it's taken this long to get a building identified and functioning with these four, if it was such a desire in the community to get this done.
Sure. So it's a $300,000 operating budget that would be sustained year over year over year, and that takes significant political will that does not already exist at this time. I mean, we have the political will to start something. Do we have a political will to ensure the sustainability of this operation? So it is taking time. I've been involved for a year and a half. It's taken almost 3 years prior to that to even bring the idea forward. Terry has heard those confrontational sort of engagements between the pantries and all the parties at stake. So this is obviously very high stakes. This affects our most vulnerable populations of the county. It's very, very sensitive all around. No one wants to disrupt the food supply of our most vulnerable populations. Nobody wants to see them unduly burdened, and we certainly want to make efficiencies, but to make that happen, there's quite a lot of...
And I can just add really quickly, in the 3 years I was engaged in the Hunger Prevention Council, which is a subcommittee of the Emergency Service Network in Kenosha, what I witnessed was a lot of competition among food pantries.
Like a turf war.
Absolutely, which was really strange, because you think everyone should be, we're all trying to serve the same purpose, but really there's a different sort of capital in that world, if you will, and it's, we're the best, we're serving the most people, we have the biggest weight of food, we're not going to share our donors with you, while this other pantry over here struggles to, on the north side, have enough product to get to people that is handy in that geographic area. So it has been very complex. I couldn't, because of our grant parameters, continue to work on it. So I said, you all need to talk to Amy. And she's really happy.
Well, we're looking to bring on full-time staff.
Who's funding it?
Who is funding it? It will be a staff, a very complicated staff of private and public sector dollars. We are investigating it day by day. So yes, it's going to be an independent nonprofit. So just like any nonprofit, it will have to be seeking grants and partnerships, and will run fundraisers and have donors, and the whole bit comes together in a very complicated array of pools. That
so
really
going to be a 501c3 then?
Yes, it will be
so
a 501c3.
So correct me if I'm wrong. I don't mean to be intrusive, but you're state funded, correct?
State funded, but we are contracted by the county.
Okay. So the state is essentially paying you, is that correct, to set this up with the community partners?
The state and the county.
The state and the county. My question is, what's to prevent that board of this new 501c3 from saying, you know, we don't like this organization, or we don't want to partner, just, you know, I think you have a great vision. What's to prevent a future board from saying we're taking it into a different direction?
You know, all I can do is work within an educational role. So I talk of convening, I talk of facilitating, I talk of coordinating, championing, a catalyst, many roles that I play. But ultimately, it is not my organization. I work for the UW Extension. I'm looking to set up a stable nonprofit organization with the help of many partners. But I cannot control one way or another what an independent nonprofit with its own board of directors will decide to do in the future. We certainly have the right partners at the table from other food banks throughout the state that are advising this advisory team, so to speak. So we're doing the very best we can with a whole array, a host of complex partnerships that Mary has been deeply involved with as well, because I simply need more assistance. So I've been grateful and appreciate your support. So is that helpful? I
think it's a great idea.
I'll just see you later, yeah.
We're doing a lot of work on it, and that's my concern, is that maybe somewhere down the road, and especially knowing now that the food pantries don't get along.
They have
say I'm a donor and I'm providing to this, and then, you know, down the road, maybe they start not getting along real well again, board directors kind of starts falling apart. Now we've got a building that we paid for that sits empty, maybe, or does not utilize the way, and then we're back starting over.
Absolutely, that's why we're taking our time.
Well, it started with Teddy. I mean, she's been working on it.
Teddy started this, back in 2007. They began studying around the food insecurity and health disparities. So, I mean, a lot of research. This is not, this is a system-level infrastructure. System-level. It changes the way everything works on the ground. So it is not a simple process.
And you're almost taking away, you said, four food pantries?
There's four food pantries that would be our
They're direct givers that are giving directly to them. You're asking them to say, no, let's put it all in one place that's independent of all four of you, and you guys trust us that we're going to do it right.
Exactly.
Right?
Correct.
Well, and they don't answer to anyone else.
And
so
it's keeping more of the food in the county that now is donated to Milwaukee and then bought back. And so it's trying to create a more efficient system that has quality
food.
But
still, they're losing that control, that direct control that they have.
But they're gaining.
To give it up.
They're gaining a lot, too.
Right.
So
you got to teach them that what they're gaining is worth more than what they're
getting. Absolutely. And I think they're getting there.
And absolutely. And I don't want to leave the impression that the pantries are not working together. This is just a very, very, if you're in their worlds and how tight their budgets are, any disruption of any one donor can mean layoffs of staff. I mean, it's really quite, the scarcity mindset is very real. So to ask them to think differently or don't be afraid, well, what do you know about running a food pantry? You know, Shalom Center's, you know, operating budget is comparable to a food bank. So it's, you know, who am I to tell them how to, you know, do this and navigate? So it's been difficult.
What are the four food pantries?
So currently we're working with Sharing Center, Salvation Army, and the Shalom Center, and then Journey Church has created a new faith-based nonprofit mobile pantry that is called One Hope. So those would be the four organizations that would actually serve a set geography within the county, so that anyone that accesses one of those four is getting this relatively same quality and quantity. As you know, you can access any point and you will get roughly the same quantity and quality, which is not happening now. So in addition to that, that's just one of several projects I'm doing. So the Uptown Brass Village neighborhood organization that I'm supporting is moving towards incorporation into a business improvement district. We tried this year, realized it was not worth the risk, backed off, and now continue to do our work and really try to add the value to the community through, I guess, our own volition, without asking for essentially a self-imposed tax that would fund a lot of these activities. We're finding grants and looking at other opportunities to really add value, enhance safety and security of the neighborhood, and focus on opportunities to bring better tenants, more viable businesses into that commercial district. Then we have our Kenosha Creative Economy Strategic Plan implementation. Christine is actively coming into a project that's about 3 years in the making. We have four defined objectives, and they all have work teams that are advancing projects around entrepreneurship, funding for the arts, Central Arts Fund, community marketing, and neighborhood revitalization through the arts. So we have work teams on all four of those levels. Christine's been really helpful. Anything to add there?
We have a group of students from UW Parkside that are engaged in helping us advance those objectives. And what's really great is maybe half of them, maybe, are from Kenosha. So the other half are really learning about the community and not just the plan itself, but all of these other resources that are involved. So it's pretty exciting to be a part of that.
Getting them out of the classroom, working with real projects, and getting them engaged with a lot of employers, that would be ideally of creating a central arts fund. We currently have something like that, but it's not fully employed. Kenosha County Sustainability and Energy Team, those are also projects that Christine has come in to assist with and are well underway, pretty mature at this point. Anything from your vantage point to add for 2019?
There's the household hazardous waste event coming up that's for residents only. It gives them the opportunity to dispose of electronic waste that they wouldn't otherwise be able to dispose of properly. And from what I understand, the 2018 event was super successful. There was a line for a very long period
of
time.
Get there early.
Yeah.
No. Do not get there early, go there late, because that's when the line is gone.
Okay, well, correct. Okay. Supervisor Decker.
The line go past the cutoff time, though, so then you're... What
there
you
is
do?
No line that late. Everyone lines up
really.
Early.
When you cut off, that's it. You take your crap back home. Are you volunteering again? Because I might have some stuff you can take back.
And then our last is Downtown Kenosha Facade Grant Research and Evaluation Project. So you've also heard about that over the years, but we've had just one cohort of actual projects go through, get their renovations, and had an evaluation component. We're just launched our second round of grants, so now we'll be evaluating the effectiveness, economic impacts of those facade improvements, and slowly incorporating these into another research project that would be entirely focused on mid-sized city, Kenosha, Wisconsin, and contrasting that to maybe other communities throughout the country, the state. What is the economic returns in this part of the country in a city this size that is extremely valued, because as we know, historic building stock is not getting in any better condition as time rolls on. So this study is extremely valued. We've had plenty of interest nationwide. They just want to see, I think, more current case studies from a more consistent geography rather than, oh, tell us about facade improvements from the state of Wisconsin, which range significantly. So Christine will also be taking over that project more or less.
How many businesses have been granted
for the second round?
Total,
the first round, I think there were seven or eight. This round, I think they're giving out 15 grants that has to be matched. It's a 50-50 match, one-to-one match. So if you put 15 on the table, you're going to get about $30,000 worth of renovations in two buildings downtown in this next round. I don't know how many projects will be selected. They're trying to actually prioritize bigger awards for fewer projects, just because spreading it so thin across so many projects, it's hardly even recognizable. So that's another learning we've seen.
And that's the application process is open right now, so that'll be open till mid-March.
And what's classified as downtown? How far west are you?
Good question. So that project is only available, or I guess accessible, to projects located within the business improvement district, which is a hard and fast geographic boundary. I'm not sure what the cross streets are, but essentially I would say, what would it be? Maybe 52nd? Yeah, probably 52nd up to 60th. It goes from the viaduct, I think it's Sheridan to the lake. So roughly that is like a technical term. Business Improvement District actually has, you know, geographic boundaries. Downtown, they like to say anything, you know, east of the viaduct from...
Well, that's what I was asking. I know some people say, you know, we're downtown and they're on Sheridan, but they're like way north on Sheridan. This is not downtown. That's the way I look at it.
Right, so I mean, it's, I think it is kind of open to interpretation, but the Business Improvement District really is a defined geography, and so that grant is only for those that actually are paying in, because it's self-imposed tax, that's how bids work. So they wanted to, I guess, add extra value to those that are already contributing to the improvements downtown is enjoying.
Okay. All right.
That is?
So, that is. I think that's everybody. Let me just double check. I think that's it. Okay.
Can you send us this?
I can send you the PowerPoint, but then we also have like a page or two overview that each of the staff have done. So I'll send both of those. Absolutely. So was this helpful to see kind of what we have planned for the year?
Mm-hmm.
So again, February seems to be a good time because we've had a chance to kind of put our plans together that have to be submitted at the state level, and thought it was important to share it with you as well. All right.
Number three.
So youth and governance, I sent out the handbook. I don't know if you had a chance to take a look at it. Was there anything else that needed to be revised? Are we good to go on that? Partly we would have done it earlier, but we haven't met in a couple months. So just wanted to pass that by you for that part. The timeline was extended because of so many schools being closed. So we'll keep you posted on that as well. And so then the process, my understanding is staff will review those, and then the committee will
set up first screening. So nominations came in, the deadline was the 9th now, right? So
yeah.
Are letters going out? Is that where
right.
we're at?
Right.
Okay.
How many nominations do we have?
You know, that's a really good question, and I emailed Vicki to ask if she, let me see if she's gotten back to me. I don't know offhand, but I can add that to the email as well once I find out. Let me see. Nope, she didn't. I think before it got extended, it was around 40, but then it was beyond that period. So. Okay, so I think things are proceeding for youth and governance. So this committee will be much more involved soon once we get the applications back.
All right, number four, UW Extension Educator Program Updates.
Well, I think we kind of did quite a bit of that, and I don't know how much time you want to go into. We could certainly do some more highlights of what's been happening. The other thing is I sent you their quarterly reports from the fourth quarter of the month, too, so do take a look at those and kind of highlights, you know, some of the things that have been occurring. But I think as they were talking, they already shared some of the programs that were in the works. So unless there's something really
got to
say something.
I forgot to invite you guys to the Pinewood Derby. It's Sunday the 24th, 11 a.m. here. 160 have registered.
Competition.
Come see the organized chaos.
If you think it's organized.
It's organized. It just looks like mass chaos.
Can they bring their own cars?
They bought their cars already. They've been working on it.
No, they're not regulation.
Oh, yeah, you got to have a regulation car. Wow. My kiddos are even working on the car this weekend. So we have a pancake one and a, what was it, dino from the Cars movie. So,
okay.
So if you want a car, I can get you one tonight, yeah, too.
They're just like, look at the anticipation. Yeah.
If I may, for all of you guys, I think you guys all have really great programs. I cannot stay on top of them. So, because there's so many. So,
right, there's a lot going on.
And I sit here and I'm listening to you guys. I'm like, I know somebody who would like this class. I know somebody who would like that class. I don't know about the others, but for me at least, if you have a class coming up or you have your classes planned for the year, send them to me, because I think of people all the time and then it forgets. It leaves my mind. So I wanted to throw that out there because, and I mean it, I mean, you guys have to think of that. I just think like, so
definitely. And don't we already add our.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think if. I might have neglected to add the list that I normally do.
Yeah, I don't think I did.
So I'll add that to my list. Sorry.
Even when you have a flyer for your thing, just
send it to you as well.
Send it to the whole county board.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not like we don't get tons of other emails that we can quickly look at.
I suppose we could create a list for that, but I haven't found where it's just an easy send it to the supervisors. I usually send it to the county clerk.
There is one.
Is there one?
Ask the county clerk.
To just give it to me?
She'll tell you what it is.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't see it on the list, but I'll ask.
Yeah, it's like countyboard@kenoshacounty.org, but I'm not sure if that's 100%.
Yeah, I don't know if they protect you all and don't let all of us just directly see what they're wanting.
Or
yes, we're very protected.
Or what?
Or send it to the county clerk.
Which is what I...
And ask her to send it to us.
Yeah, okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you for that. Okay, so then, I don't know if you want to just a few quick
updates.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else. So I guess the biggest thing that we already talked some about the hiring that we're working on. And then the other important thing is we're getting ready to, well, we've been looking at floor plans and how we're going to be moved in with planning and development probably in July. And so, hello.
No, open yet?
We're on the other side of that hall. Go to the end of the hall, turn right,
yeah.
And
okay.
We're in that room.
They'll be coming over there shortly.
as soon as
we finish
up. End of the hall, turn right, through the doors.
Yeah. So anyway, I've been working with Ray and others and Andy on just how that space is going to look. And so then they can do some little bit of remodeling to make room for us. And then the sheriff's office will be coming into our space. So. We just moved our Burlington office last week, which I still have to go back tonight. Tomorrow they actually changed the locks on our old space, and I need to finish getting a few more things out yet. So I'll do that tonight on my way home. And so we cleaned out there, and now we'll be cleaning a lot of things and reorganizing. And it'll be a great team building exercise, right? Yes, it'll be great. So it will be, a lot more efficient use of space. But anyway, that's going to take a little bit of time coming up. And those are, I guess, the two key things that I've been working on.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
We will reconvene in the other room.